There are currently three active candidates for Vikings defensive coordinator, but there are a couple more I think are worth pitching. That and so much more on Twitter Tuesday on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You like that on 3-1-2-3?
You like it?
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings, and also on Amazon Fire or Roku. Just download the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. Thanks for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. It's Twitter Tuesday. That means I'm answering your questions on the Locked On Vikings podcast. If you want to send me a question, you can do so anytime at Luke Braun NFL or at Locked On Vikings on Twitter. You can also shoot me an email at LockedOnVikingsPodcast@gmail.com or fill out the Google form in the show notes if you prefer. If you got something a little longer, leave a YouTube comment too. I'll probably see it. So I'm going to start with some defensive coordinator stuff. Shoot That S asked, should the Vikings be interested in Steve Wilks for DC? And if so, what type of scheme is he known for? So this gives us a good excuse to sort of check in on the defensive coordinator thing. We haven't talked about defensive coordinator since Ryan Nielsen took the job with the Falcons. So he's out of the running. He was kind of my least favorite. Well, my least favorite guy is Petten. It's just, you know, sticking status quo with Petten, right? I hated that. I like Brian Flores. I like Sean Desai. I was not as sold on Ryan Nielsen, but I also didn't know as much about him, but it's all moot now. He gets to go with the Falcons. Good luck to him. That leaves three interviewed candidates, but Ian Rappaport has reported that the Vikings are waiting to see how head coaching things shake out, which is very interesting, which tells me that could mean a couple different things. For one, it could mean that they want Brian Flores, but Brian Flores is still in the running for the Cardinals job. And I believe the Denver job, I want to say he's still got some head coaching openings that he is in the running for. So you got to wait for that to shake out. Okay. So maybe they just want him. Fair enough. Or do they want someone like Steve Wilks or Ejiro Evero? So I would like both of those guys. Evero would be sort of in the Desai world for me where, okay, he comes off the same tree and you're not changing the scheme, but maybe he runs it better. Steve Wilks is really interesting. I think Steve Wilks has gotten some really unfair treatment by the NFL. He had the one really bad year as a head coach in Arizona. It was the Josh Rosen year for them. They went 3-13. They were one overall. But I think there's a lot more dysfunction in Arizona. That kind of makes me think maybe that wasn't the right merit decision to fire him after 1 year. I wonder how he would have done if they ended up going with Kyler Murray and stuff with him. But, you know, all well in the past. As a D-backs guy, which is what he has been before he was a defensive coordinator, he came off up through the secondary ranks in Chicago in the late aughts. So we're talking Charles Tillman. We're talking Brian Urlacher coverage, that kind of stuff. So there are people from those units that will just swear by this guy. So if you like peanut punches, maybe that's the thing that comes with Steve Wilks. I don't know a ton about him yet. I lean toward liking him just because of the way his career has gone. Kind of feels similar to Flores where he maybe shouldn't be up for DC. Maybe he's a little overqualified for this, but because of, we'll go with factors, politics maybe is a better word, just because of politics, league politics, he's not as high in the hierarchy as maybe he should be. And that is an opportunity to get somebody overqualified to do a job. You want that, right? Although then you got to worry, same thing with Flores. You got to worry about, will he take a head coaching job someday? And with Desai as well, honestly, I think Mike Petten's the only person who's not in danger of that, which is a reflection. So that's where I stand on Steve Wilks. If they interview him, I'll do a lot more research. And same with Evero. But also those guys are defensive coordinators that I don't know what Frank Reich's trying to get Vic Fangio in, I think. I thought I saw, but Vic Fangio might go to Miami. So there's all this stuff that needs to shake out. And then maybe Steve Wilks becomes a free agent and you go, okay, we'll bring him in. Or maybe whoever they hire in Denver but nobody wants to work for Denver. It's very funny. And I kind of feel like that's the holdup. Like they thought, we would have known about Evero by now, but nobody wants to take the job. We thought someone would want to take the job, which would have been reasonable. That's where we're at. So there's your defensive coordinator check-in. We're waiting on other stuff to shake out, which usually is how the coordinator stuff goes, you know, because they're going to the defensive coordinator you want is the one who's so good at it, he's getting head coaching interviews. But if he doesn't get an actual head coaching job, then he can take the defensive coordinator thing. So we just got to hope that everybody hires somebody else. D'Amico Ryan's probably getting hired in Houston. That's a big one for us. That's good Vikings news. Good Texans news, too. I like that hire for them. Moving to other questions, Jeremy Gerbig says, I see the Vikings signed Sheldon Day to a futures contract. What is a futures contract? So dryly, a futures contract is a minimum salary deal, usually a minimum salary deal, that doesn't have any signing bonus or maybe very little signing bonus. So cheap money that doesn't take effect until the start of the league year. The reason a futures contract exists is essentially for practice squad players because they're not on your active roster. But we are still technically in the 2022 season. As of this moment, the Vikings are only allowed to have 53 players on their active roster. Everybody else can get poached, right? The futures contract is essentially signing a deal with someone that takes effect on the first day of the league year, but you're not under contract like now. You will be in 6 weeks. It's just because practice squad players become free agents. They're not on the active roster. They're not under contract for you. But if you want to keep them in the building, you sign them to a futures contract and essentially say, okay, 1 year, very small salary deal. Good luck in training camp. Let's see how it goes. And sometimes those guys don't even make it to training camp. Sometimes they'll get cut for a rookie, or if you get an undrafted guy you like or another free agent that you like. You know, when you get to the point where you want to sign a guy but you already have 90 men on the roster, a lot of times it's like a reserve futures guy that ends up getting cut in the middle of like June. So that's how those things tend to work. But really, it's Sheldon Day was on the practice squad and they want to bring him back next year. That's what that means. Skull Actuary says, best guess for Aaron Rodgers. Just another year of drama with nothing changing. Very possible. I have no idea. I don't really think the Packers have any idea. The whisper out of there right now, all the rumor is that the Packers are leaning toward trading Aaron Rodgers. Go listen to Locked On NFL today. Ross and I talked about the Packers cap situation and specifically the Aaron Rodgers thing a little bit, for kind of information about like how that probably goes down if it does. But otherwise, they probably do something weird with his salary, restructure his big old bonus or something like that. Or I think it automatically vests, if I remember, or automatically turns into a signing bonus. So it automatically prorates, not vests. That's the word. But yeah, that is, they could just leave him and just then figure out the money, or they have to sign him to like a weird deal that's meant to be traded away. And then the other team will sign him to the real contract. Like there's weird agreements and stuff that go on. Seems like the wind is blowing toward Aaron Rodgers getting traded, but we're talking like a 55-45 situation here. We are still very much in unknown territory. Frosty says, if you were O'Connell or Kwesi, what would be the first moves you would make as soon as possible? So the first thing I would be doing, well, get a defensive coordinator. That's the first thing. Once your staff is set, as I think what you're asking, the first thing I would do is start negotiating with Harrison Smith and Adam Thielen, and they might already be doing that. Those two guys have $19 million cap hits, very reworkable contracts, very cuttable contracts. I'm not just going to cut them, but I'm going to go to them and say, hey, let's see if we can find a way to make this work. Cause we can't pay you $19 million. We cannot do that. And if you don't want to come to the table with us, we will, you know, you can go to free agency no hard feelings, but let's see if we can't work something out. And I have no qualms with taking a full month to negotiate those two contracts to see if I can get those cap hits down a little bit more and get a more favorable situation. And for those old guys, give themselves back a little bit of control of their careers. They're both under contract for several years on a deal that is a lot of funny money. It's not a great situation for them. So yeah, to try to get them into a situation where they can get back on the market before they're too old to make any money on it, if they so choose. Or maybe we go back to extensions and then they get the negotiating leverage, which I'm okay to risk that. I have a whole bunch more questions to get to, so we'll get to them. All right. A lot of salary cap stuff, a little bit of draft stuff. We're starting to get into that season. So come on down for a ride. But first, it is getting close to Valentine's Day season. And that means it's time to start thinking about what you are going to get for that special someone. Have you found that perfect Valentine's Day gift? If not, check out BlueNile.com. That is all of the convenience of modern online shopping, but for jewelry. And you're not just getting a one-size-fits-all thing. You can customize something, you can specialize it, make it sure it's perfect for your partner with the help of an expert who knows what they're doing. Like, do you know what a princess cut diamond is? If you don't, they do, and they can help you decide if that's right for your partner or not. At BlueNile.com, you can get all sorts of in-depth educational materials as well, so you can learn for yourself. You can choose diamond shape, size, clarity, setting, style, all of that good stuff, and every order is insured, arrives quickly, and in discreet packaging, so it won't give up the game. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off BlueNile.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On NFL Draft, because there's like 7 Locked On people at the Senior Bowl and they're doing live shows. So go check out the Locked On NFL Draft YouTube channel. I believe it's like 9 o'clock Eastern. They do like post-practice recaps to tell you who all the big risers and fallers are. And also just go listen to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. A lot of people from Locked On at the Senior Bowl right now. Go check them out. Let's move on with this Twitter Tuesday mailbag. Nick Miller says, salary cap Q. What is the opportunity cost for restructuring money, creating void years, or spending to cap when you're not truly competing? Would it be better to only do that when you're in the right time horizon to give the most flexibility when you're legitimately competing? Okay, two things. Still don't know what a time horizon means. I think that's one of the funniest corporate buzzwords I've ever heard. I love that Kwesi uses it. I hope he never stops. It's hilarious. Secondly, every team thinks they're competing. Always. They just always do. I know that that's weird when you're the 24th best team in the league, the Panthers or whatever. But every team thinks that they're competing, and they always will behave like they are competing. If they don't, it's like this, the Stephen Ross Dolphins thing, and they're in an active lawsuit over it. Like, the NFL just will not work this way. This is not hockey. All right. So we got to get out of that mindset. But the opportunity cost for salary cap stuff is very 1-to-1. And you could even argue it's like 1-to-3. So let's say you have $4 that you want to restructure over a 4-year deal. So really easy number. So you get $1 each year. That means that you saved $3 in this year and you only added $1 to each of the next 3 years. Now, you did add a dollar in 3 consecutive years. So you did kind of take $3 from the future and put $3 into the present, right? And that is difficult. Now, you can do stuff like trades and cuts and stuff kind of are the opposite of that, where you're taking cap burden out of future years and accelerating dead money and stuff like that. That's kind of how cap cuts work, right? If your future is really screwed. But the Vikings' future is very open, so they shouldn't need to do any of that kind of stuff. But the opportunity cost is very 1-to-1, but you get to spread it out. And that's why it's such a popular move. That's why every team does it every year to make extra cap space, because it is a no-interest loan. And if you know any people in finance and ask them, hey, if a bank told you that you could take out a loan and pay 0% interest on it, what would you do? They would be like, probably call the authorities, unless they're a real finance guy. I'm sorry, I'm not going to say that. I don't know any finance people, and I don't want to make fun of them. Says, with all the players the Vikings will likely lose on defense, is there any realistic way for them to be a competitive defense next season? Not much cap space to work with. So here's my concern, all right? If you want doom, you want doom and gloom, all right? Maybe I've been too positive on this show. They ain't fixing that cornerback situation. Somebody else asked, where is that one? Patrick Nisler asked, the Vikings had such a bad pass defense last year, yet so many people want to bring back the entire room. What do you do and why? So here's the problem. It's that. He's got a point, right? And I don't have no idea what to expect from Patrick Peterson next year, right? He's in that world where the age cliff can kind of strike like a truck at any time. Same world Thielen and Harrison Smith are in. But that said, he's probably going to be pretty cheap. So that's part of why bringing him back is probably a good idea, because the opportunity cost is not going to be that high. He's not going to cost you that much cap in cap dollars. And I think Duke Shelley has earned a chance to make the Vikings again, if not compete for a starting role, right? That said, I don't think that those guys I don't think you can be like, okay, now we're done. right? I think you need to go out and try to get somebody like Byron Murphy, or you need to spend on, you need to spend a first round pick on a cornerback, and you might need to do both. And that means you're either relying on rookies to start, you're relying on winning a free agency bidding war, which is far from a certain proposition. Even if you're the team willing to bid the most, maybe they want to go play in a warm weather state, right? And you're just like screwed. Like that kind of thing happens all the time. So you've got all kinds of unknowns. The Vikings need to roll a lot of dice on cornerback, and they need to kind of hit on all of them to not have a catastrophic cornerback problem. Or they need to do, this is why Brian Flores is like, this is the pitch of Brian Flores is like, or Brian Flores gets a whole bunch of good stuff out of all these young guys, out of Booth and Dantzler and Scene and all these, and the secondary, and this, the young part of the secondary surges because Brian Flores is such a good coach. Or I guess that's the deal with Steve Wilks too. If you wanted to go call Steve Wilks up, oh, he's such a good secondary coach that now all these guys, and now we've got kind of a new secondary and it will be new people playing, you know, it's not just relying on Duke Shelley again. It's actually Andrew Booth is good now. And in a way that's an addition. So that's the path, is spend a lot and get lucky. It's not a good situation. And the more realistic prognostication is the secondary is a problem for a year or two more. And hopefully they can kind of responsibly spend and build it back up over time. But look at the way the offensive line has been for the last 10 years. We are in a situation right now in the cornerback room that's really similar to the situation we were in 2016 with the offensive line, where all the light bulbs went out at once. Every player was gone, and you've just kind of had patchwork for a little while, and now we need to start building this up slowly. But it took 6-7 years for the Vikings to get an offensive line we could even feel okay about. And even that, people are like, we got to get rid of the whole offensive line because of how bad the playoff game went, which I don't really agree with, but it's still not a project that's done. It's been a decade plus, honestly. So it's bleak at secondary, and I think this is going to be a problem for a long time unless some young guys get real good real fast, but that would be a lucky outcome, so we need to get lucky. There's your doom and gloom. Michael Chazen says, can you review the circumstances under which Jerick McKinnon left the Vikings? Why was he let go, and who did we keep instead? He had a good year with the Chiefs. It was the same thing as Alexander Mattison. He was drafted in 2014. He played out his rookie contract all 4 years. He left after the 2017 season. He got signed to a pretty big deal in San Francisco in 2018. And the Vikings had drafted Dalvin Cook in 2017. And Dalvin Cook got hurt, so Jerick McKinnon played the 2017 season. Had a pretty good season, but we had Dalvin Cook. So we weren't going to give him a second contract, and it's kind of the same thing. We're not going to give Alexander Mattison a second contract, so he'll go. And it might be very similar to Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon made some money on the open market, and Alexander Mattison might. I could definitely see it, and I'm rooting for it. Go comp picks, right? But then he got hurt twice in San Francisco. He only actually played one healthy season in San Francisco. Then he went to the Chiefs, where he's had a bit of a resurgence, but he's in like year 7 of his career now, and it's been long enough where it doesn't really feel like it reflects on the Niners more than the Vikings. The Niners maybe are wishing they had kept him, but they also have Christian McCaffrey, so I don't think they're too mad with that room. Torm Hustvedt says, what player in the Vikings defensive locker room are you most worried for when the new defensive coordinator watches tape from last year? Jordan Hicks. It's Jordan Hicks. And worried, Jordan Hicks is a really strong cap casualty candidate. And I don't even know if I call it a cap casualty. It's more of a, we have a young guy and you're obsolete now casualty. This is Brian Asamoah played better. And so Jordan Hicks, that's the tape you watch. So you go, oh, Brian Asamoah's actually got some juice. Let's get rid of the expensive old guy and put him, and he'll be our starter now. That's probably the answer. And then I guess guys that could also that are also at risk of losing their jobs who figure to be in the room, right? Like Patrick Peterson is not currently under contract, although he has expressed that he wants to come back. And like I said, be into it. Cam Bynum might lose his job to Lewis Cine, right? Harrison Smith could totally fall off an age cliff and not be good anymore. That's could happen whenever. But I think the answer to this is probably Jordan Hicks, which is a bummer. He is a leadership figure, and he's a veteran, and he's a really good guy. I got a few more questions to get to, so we'll get to them. But first, let me talk to you about the sports betting partner of the NFL and of Locked On. It is FanDuel, and it's Super Bowl season. This is betting Christmas. This is the time to bet on Gatorade colors and whether or not the national anthem will be longer than anybody's than any offensive possessions in the game, and to bet on the Chiefs and the Eagles and all that stuff. And FanDuel is the place to go. If you are new to sports betting, the Super Bowl is a great time to get into it because it's very silly and fun. And it's very accessible. You can download FanDuel right now. There's an app. You can go to the website. And you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. And the app is safe, secure, super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Moving right along with this Twitter Tuesday mailbag on the Locked On Vikings podcast. Thank you all so much for hanging out. Salvador Estrada says, after Anthony Richardson, is there any QB worth taking in the third round or later? I don't know. Ask me again in like 2 months. But the only reason I put this question in the mailbag is to circle back. Yesterday, I called somebody said, like, I can't believe you compared Anthony Richardson to Jordan Love. Let me be perfectly clear. I have not watched a single rep of Anthony Richardson. Please do not listen to my draft takes right now. But from what I've read, from what just osmosis of what people have been talking about, it seems like he is the guy this year that's toolsy but raw. Like, that's as deep as that comparison goes, which is about as surface level as it is. If you want Anthony Richardson actual analysis, listen to Locked On NFL Draft, and maybe I'll watch him, and you can circle back in, like, late, like, after free agency kind of dies down is usually when I get into it. So I don't know if there's any quarterbacks that are, like, big third-round guys. Let me know who yours are, though. Show me the names. I don't know who to watch yet, so tell me the names. Somebody compared Anthony Richardson to Dante Culpepper, said that was a better comparison. So I don't know. Tell me your Anthony Richardson comps too, if you agree or disagree with the Culpepper thing and who you would put forward. I'm curious to hear what people think about Anthony Richardson, and eventually I'll get around to actually getting my own opinion on him. Daniel Hagan asks one. I love this question. I had a lot of fun with your question, Daniel, who said you can add any three former players Kevin O'Connell has coached besides Aaron Donald to the 2023 Vikings. Who are you picking? So the way you worded this is players he has coached, which means probably nobody on a defense. That to me precludes Aaron Donald, and I can't do like guys on those Washington, like Jonathan Allen or Daron Payne, which is kind of a bummer, or Montez Sweat, which is kind of a bummer. But that said, I get Cooper Kupp, so him. I'm also assuming that salary cap is not a part of this because that would make it a lot less fun. So Cooper Kupp, I get Terry McLaurin, and I'm just going to double dip on wide receivers because you can never have too many receivers. And now Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin. I have a fantasy team with Kirk Cousins throwing to them. That offense rules. So he was an offensive assistant in San Francisco in 2016, which wasn't a great 49ers year. That was the kneel downs year, the Colin Kaepernick getting benched for Blaine Gabbert year for them. But Daniel Kilgore was a pretty good center, if I recall. So that'll fix our center thing. So I'm going to take Daniel Kilgore, kind of an off-the-wall one. But honestly, you could just go with like Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Terry McLaurin and say, I'll just take all wide receivers. I would not argue with you. That's a fun one because there's not a lot. Like, it doesn't make me go through like 12 years of history, but I can just kind of like troll through Pro Football Reference and see which names are fun. Perfect little bite-sized game. Drew Luters says, if you could relive one Vikings game of all time, what would it be? It's the answer to this is always going to be the miracle. But just to have something that is a little more original, 1999 Vikings host the Cowboys in the wild card round. I was at that game. I was 7 years old, and that's like just a little bit too young for me to have enough of a memory of it. Like, I remember it, but it's a little fuzzy. I would love to go back and like relive that moment. Like, that's one of my first memories at the Metrodome watching the Vikings, and they beat up Troy Aikman, and it was kind of cathartic. That would be a really fun one to relive. Or if I could go back and live one out that I wasn't alive for, I would either choose the miracle at the Met in 1980 or the final game at the Met, 1981. It was a meaningless game, but the pandemonium and chaos afterwards, with people tearing apart the stadium. There was a man in a gorilla suit. Watch the history documentary. I paid somebody to animate it. Go watch that. I would love to see that pandemonium and see just how crazy it was. JJ for MVP asks, if someone unwisely... By the way, JJ, MVP finalist. That's all I wanted. All I wanted was a vote. He ain't going to win, but I wanted a vote. And I'm so happy we got actually some votes for Justin Jefferson for MVP. That's perfect. He said, if someone unwisely decided to pick a fight with Darrisaw on the football field, which move would be cooler for Darrisaw to do? The lift up, toss, and slam to the ground like what Trent Williams did, or Darrisaw's standard push into oblivion? Oh, it's 100% the push into oblivion. The thing Trent Williams did, A, that's a safety that you're like pile driving. So no. But also Darrisaw's just like heavy hands, like flick of his wrist, and you go flying like your Team Rocket blasting off again. Yeah, that is absolutely the way to do this. And it's also a lot less likely to get you suspended. But also, I don't know. Darrisaw, I mean, the mean streak is absolutely way more there in the pros. And it was there in college too, but it looked so effortless that people like me could mistake it for lazy, which is a mistake that I made. But I don't know if he's got the like after play fight thing. That's more of a Garrett Bradbury has that, but I don't know if Darrisaw, he's a little bit more cool headed, I think. But I also don't know the guy, so who knows? Nicholas Trainer says, so does the Jefferson contract start to get expensive in 24 or 25? The short answer to this is that's kind of up to the Vikings, and there are ways to structure it either way that Justin Jefferson would say yes to. So that's really a choice that they can make. But my guess would be that they pick up the fifth year option, which is going to be due before they get this extension done. So they'll pick up the fifth year option, probably just let him play on that fifth year option, and then the extension will take effect in 2025. So he'll sign the extension this offseason, but it will probably leave 2024 relatively unchanged, which will be a fairly high priced contract in 24. It will be real money. 2025 is when it will become gargantuan money. So it'll escalate, and 2024 will be, you know, you're not paying him a million anymore. It's not a rookie contract anymore. The fifth year option is more real money, but it won't be, you know, the mind boggling numbers, that he'll probably get then for the rest of his career. Shadow asks, if a magic genie appeared and gave you tickets to any Vikings game of your choosing next year, which one would you take right now? Okay. I'm going to game the system and I'm going to say the Super Bowl. Because I'm guessing that the genie's magic would then have to generate Vikings Super Bowl tickets. And if Vikings Super Bowl tickets have been generated, doesn't that mean I've gotten the Vikings into the Super Bowl? So I'm going to go with that. If you mean regular season, Vegas baby. Heck yeah. Brian Sandinista is the last one I'll do, who says, do the Vikings eventually need to get a dual threat quarterback or continue living in 1984? No. I know that this is what everybody's going to do. So I hate this. Like, here are the teams in the Super Bowl. Why isn't my team doing what they did? It's like, well, we don't have Mahomes. All right. We're not going to have Mahomes, and might not have Jalen Hurts either. Right. For every Jalen Hurts, you get a whole lot of, you know, random guys that just like never turn out. Right. A lot of Deshaun Kaisers. Be who your team is supposed to be. Right. We have Kirk Cousins. Let's be the team that's best with that. And then if you want to change paths there and go from Kirk Cousins to Jimmy Garoppolo instead, or Kirk Cousins to Lamar Jackson instead, I still have no idea what's going on there in Baltimore. Then okay. Like, then we can have that conversation and compare one person to one person, but try not to compare one person to an unknown. Don't compare Kirk Cousins to generic dual threat quarterback. Like it's a mid February presidential Gallup poll for a Democratic primary. Right. Compare a person to a person, or an idea to an idea. And the level of mobility that Kirk Cousins represents, I think, is good enough. It's the level of mobility that, you know, or at least the level of like running talent. The pocket mobility is different when this is like Burrow's strength. But when Burrow runs, it works. It's enough. It's not the biggest threat in the world. He's not Justin Fields running around there, but it's enough. And I think with Cousins, we've seen him convert third and nines on the ground when the defense gives him the space to do it. That's good enough. That's the way that the tool needs to be. But we don't need to be an option team. I think just the fact that there are two teams that have read option in their offenses are in the Super Bowl right now does not mean that every single team needs to be an option team now. If that's not who you are, don't try to be who you aren't. That's where I'm at. I will also say, you chose the less Steckle year. So living in 1984 would actually mean taking a 38-year-old guy who's been retired from the Canadian League for 3 years and barely choosing him over just throwing your D-backs coach out there, because that was, or no, that was 1987. 1987 was a strike year. The Les Stuckel year was just a disaster. Archie Manning was the quarterback in 1984 for most of the year. And I believe a little bit of Wade Wilson. And then it was Tommy Kramer, but he got hurt. So Tommy Kramer actually was probably more a dual threat quarterback than Kirk Cousins is. I don't know, old people who were adult enough to watch football in 1984. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was before I was born. But if I remember from doing the doc, that Tommy Kramer, I mean, he was at least like a scrambler, right? He was kind of in the mold of Tarkenton a little bit, but not quite Tarkenton, where he was a scrambler. He was a little bit sort of YOLO, kind of Case Keenum-ish that way, but with better talent. And I would probably call that more of a dual threat quarterback than Kirk Cousins is. So if we want to live in 1984, I think you might be more into that than you are into now, Brian. So tomorrow, a couple things. One, Lockdown Vikings. We'll be back with something. I don't know. But two, probably the big salary cap video on my Patreon is out, and it's going to be free to watch. So go to patreon.com/LukeBrownNFL when it comes out. Keep an eye on my Twitter. At the same handle, and we will talk about the salary cap, do it a little bit of counting beans. I will see you all for all of that, and as always, Skull.